It's the highest praise. You say hallelujah. When you say hallelujah, it's the highest praise. And he is worthy of all of our praises. Any acknowledgement, he's worthy of it. And we're so glad that he loves us. Father, thank you this day for just another day to come to sing songs of Zion, Lord, for wonderful fellowship with fellow believers, for your spirit, Lord, that you've so richly given and poured upon us, for your son Jesus, who died, was buried, was resurrected, and ascended on high, and turned and sent the Holy Spirit to us. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful grace and your wonderful kindness, for your loving kindness, which is so much better than words. And so, Lord, we pray that you will help us to hear you and help us to see you, Lord. As the song says, open our eyes, Lord, I want to see you. Open our ears, Lord. I want to hear you. Speak to our hearts today, O God, as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 22. In our last study in Revelation, the main character there was Jezebel. She was identified as calling herself a prophetess and a teacher. But what she taught amounted to seduction of God's servants. She seduced them to commit fornication and eat things sacrificed or killed in honor of idols. She did not repent, so God pronounces his judgment. In verse 22, he says, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. God threatened to throw this Jezebel into a bed and her followers and fellow adulterers into what he called great tribulation. Jezebel was a spiritual harlot. She was a harlot. And as harlots are known for committing sins, they're typically committed in bed. So Jesus, he was just warning her that he would make a special bed just for this Jezebel and all of those that participated with her in her adulteries and her fornications. He was going to deal with them. He promised them great tribulation, which is great suffering. That's not a good promise to look forward to, great tribulation and great suffering. But note a few things. Jesus didn't give the message directly to Jezebel and her followers. He gave it to his messenger. He gave it to the angel of the church. The messenger or the angel is the one responsible to speak on God's behalf. And indeed, the messenger is the same, as I understand it, at least in churches I know today, as preachers or pastors. Jezebel and those that followed her were unsaved, had to been, or at least they were greatly misinformed. Well, the scripture says of Jesus that he gave her space to repent. And I believe the messenger would have communicated God's displeasure and command to repent or turn around. Revelation 2:21 says something. It says that she did not. Now, Hebrews 10:26 through 31 tells us something about this kind of thing. It says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The space that he allowed for Jezebel to repent was not just a few months. I understand that there were some sources that say that he gave her up to 1,000 years. Now, Jezebel didn't live 1,000 years, but she had followers. And those teachings and those blasphemous teachings, they continued on, and there were followers. Now, not everyone in that church was bad, but every church has in it people that may have joined through some other means, baptism or some other way, without ever stopping to commune with Jesus and get saved. And so we shouldn't be surprised to go into a church and find that there are unsaved people there that are in leadership positions, sometimes ushers, sometimes deacons, sometimes pastors, sometimes ministers, and they didn't stop by and have that communion with Jesus. And that's unfortunate. Jesus stated that he would use this church as an example, in verse 22, for all of the other churches. He was going to use them. He's going to set them up. And how he would kill Jezebel's offsprings with death. The offsprings or children of Jezebel would be those who continued in the teachings and practices of this false teacher from generation to generation. To kill with death, to me, has a very odd ring to it, to kill with death. The reference to the word death would seem to be some heavy judgment by plague or famine or sword, or by which they would be cut off. This speaks of physical death. That is the first death. But because those who live and died unsaved will, after physical death, have the final second death, or lake of fire. And so I would surmise that perhaps not only is he talking about the first death, of which all men will partake of unless Jesus comes, I believe he's talking about the last death, the second death, the lake of fire. He will kill them in the lake of fire. Revelation 20, 13 through 5. Let me go back some. Okay. Revelation 20, 13 through 15 states concerning this final judgment, this death, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. So if you notice, that looks like a pronoun. The sea was a it, and death and hell was them. And so it distinguishes the two from each other. And death, the Bible says in verse 14 of Revelation 20, and hell were cast into the lake of fire. The Bible says this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. When Jesus speaks of searching the hearts and the reins, he speaks of searching your innermost being, and he's also searching the reins, meaning searching the mind. It means he looks inside of us to our very core, all the way to our very intentions. He sees our emotions. He sees our desires. He sees our thoughts. Church, nothing is hidden from him. You might trick me, but you'll never trick him. And remember, God sees in the dark. You can cut all the lights out and close all the curtains, but God still sees in the dark. You can't trick him. This is the example to all of the churches, even to us, that Jesus knows who belong to him, because Jesus knows the heart. So playing church won't help you. I've heard it said, and I've heard people say this, and it baffles me that anyone would even consider this. Honey, fake it till you make it. What's that? If you fake it, you're not going to make it. You got to be real with this. Fake what? The devil ain't faking. He's 100% serious. And he loves it when you start faking it. Say, ooh, I'm going to use them. Oh, I'm going to use them. If I can just keep them in that church faking it, ooh, I'm going to use them. Because, you know, when you're faking it, you know you're lying, right? You know you're no more like the devil than when you're lying. Amen. Come on. I just need a half an amen at least. You're no more like the devil than when you're lying. And so when you're faking it, you're lying. You're not being honest with yourself and all of those around you. When the Lord speaks of rewarding according to works, he points to the coming judgment. That would be the white throne judgment. That's where works are dealt with. That is the white throne judgment of the unsaved. Christians had no business at a white throne judgment. As a matter of fact, if you belong to Jesus, you shouldn't worry about a white throne judgment. That one is different from the judgment seat of Christ, where we are either given reward or loss for our works. But it's no judgment seat, no judgment for the things that we've done per se, as it would be those that don't know Christ. And so the judgment that he speaks of would be one that would come forth at the white throne judgment. But in verse 24, that's kind of the good news verse, letting us know that not everyone in the Thyatira church was bad. Praise the Lord. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not the doctrine, this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you no other burden. Not everyone there was under this false teaching. To have not known the depths of Satan, or to not have an intimate knowledge of satanic meanings, that's what that means. You don't know the depths of Satan means that you don't have an intimate knowledge of it. You haven't entertained how these particular things work. You don't have in you an intimate knowledge of Satan's meanings and of his practices. So he asked no more of his real followers. He said, in essence, just keep doing what you're doing and hold on to it until I come, which then is a reference to the rapture of the church. And so if we're working for him, he wants us to continue to do that which we are doing. And whatever we do, don't follow any Jezebels that show up in the church. Don't do it. And Jesus then promises something to overcomers. He promised to give them power over the nations. Power over the nations. That's a special power giving you over others. The qualifier here, in order to get this, or to continue to do his works and to overcome the satanic influence in the Thyatira church and surroundings, as well as us to overcome satanic influences. That's a daily overcoming that we have to do. We have to continually overcome the influences of evil. And I want to pull off to the side and let you know that you have an influence of evil that's closer to you than Satan. And it's your old man. And that is a bad boy. And he lies like the devil. He's evil like the devil. He loves the devil. And he wants to be in league with the devil. That's something and someone that lives inside of you. That's not the devil walking out down the street. It's not the devil over there that's robbing and killing people. That's the devil that lives in you. That's the evil old nature. And if you don't do nothing else, we have our hands full with our old natures. Hands full. We have to continue to watch and continue to be vigilant in this battle. Because if we're not careful, we will let it slip. What a powerful battle we have. And it says that he will rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall be broken to shivers, even as I received of my father. So he is going to give him rule over the nations, who, and that one that he gives rulership over the nations will rule them with a rod of iron and break them into shivers, as I was given, he said, Jesus said, as I was given. That's the plight of the overcomer. And that is what we must do, is to overcome. He shall rule with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, which means to be crushed, which means to be completely shattered. It is something that happens where harm is inflicted by a quick blow. And he says, even as I received of my father, Psalm tells us that Jesus received this of his father in Psalms chapter 2, 7 through 9. That Jesus received this, that he promised to the overcomers in Thyatira. This is the same thing he received in Psalm 2, starting in verse 7. He says, I will declare in Psalms 2, verse 7, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. So we know that it's talking about Jesus. It says, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. The same thing that he received is prophesied in the book of Psalms. And now here he is in Revelation chapter 2, promising to give the same thing to those that overcome. It's just as he received from his father. He promised to give the church of Thyatira the morning star, Revelation 22. In Revelation 22, 16, he calls himself the bright and morning star. And he promised to give them the morning star. He that hath ears to hear, he says, let him hear. The morning star that he promised was and is himself. He promises us himself. Now, we talk about Jesus so much, so often, that we sort of don't appreciate what that means when he says, I'm going to give you me. But I'll just go on and tell you that it's a whole lot more than you have ever had. It's a whole lot more than you will ever expect to have when he gives you himself. He gives you a lot. He gives you more than a lot when he gives you of himself. He that hath an ear to hear, hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. It goes to follow that Jezebel's children will not and cannot hear the Spirit. Cannot hear what the Spirit of God says. They can't hear what he's saying to the churches, because they really aren't a part of the church. They're in this thing, they're in the gathering called the church, but they're not really a part of the church, because they don't belong to Jesus. So if you don't belong to Jesus, then you have not partaken of his Spirit. And if you have not partaken of his Spirit, then you can't hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And so many of them are counterfeits, and many of them are pretenders, and they don't know when a person gets touched by the Spirit, they'll watch and see how they act, and they'll start acting like that person. When a person that's full of the Spirit begin to move in the Spirit, they'll start acting like what they see. They will counterfeit. They will try to do what they see to fit in, so they won't be discovered. But they cannot hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. But the children of the Lord Jesus can and will hear what the Spirit says to the churches, because he will open their ears to hear. The Spirit will open your ears to hear what God is saying to you. It is a spiritual thing and a spiritual action that the Lord does. God does the opening, and God does the revealing. We won't snatch it out of his hands. He will open up our understanding and he will reveal his truth to us. That's what makes this so wonderful, but it also makes it a very private kind of a relationship that you have with the Lord. I don't know what all he says to you, and you don't know what he says to me. But it's very special that you have. Jesus said, "My sheep will hear my voice. Another, they will not follow." So those in this particular message that followed Jezebel were obviously not sheep that belonged to Jesus, because they would follow only his voice, and another they will not follow. But the ones here in the church of Thyatira was following this Jezebel, who called herself a prophetess and a teacher, and she was nowhere near being a prophetess or a teacher of God. She taught them to worship idols, and she taught them to eat things sacrificed unto idols, things that are killed. O thou rock god, we bring this goat to you, and in the name of rocks and gardens of rocks and all rocks around, we kill this goat before you, and we sprinkle his blood on all rocks, on our rocks, and here, take a thimble of rock of the blood and take it and sprinkle it on your rock god. And folks, what? And then they got the meat left, and so they would bring the meat to the church and say, "It's good meat. This, the blood has already been drained out. Lean, good tasting. Here, have some. Either give it to you or sell it to you." And he said, you know what? Many of them would eat that with the consciousness of the idol. So they'll find themselves sometimes giving respect to the idol when they take the meat. "I'm glad to have this meat that was sacrificed to the rock god. And praise the Lord, amen, I got meat from..." And he said, you know, that's not good. You know, that's a bad teaching. And so remember, one of the main messages: don't follow false teachers. Don't follow Jezebels. And a Jezebel, of course, is a female. And of course, the Old Testament tells us about the Jezebel that was there. But I'll just go on and say, anyone that teaches anything contrary to what the gospel teaches, you can name them the Jezebel if you want, man or woman, because they're teaching lies. If you belong to Jesus, your spiritual discernment would work, and you would recognize it very quickly if it was not in accordance with what the Word of God says. Sometimes you might not even understand some parts of the Word, but you've got the living Spirit of God inside you, and he will notice you. He will notify you. And then that would encourage you to go search that out. Say, wait a minute, they said thus and such. Let's see if that's in the Bible. Let's see if it's in the Scripture. If you don't have enough knowledge of where to find things in the Scripture, you go find someone who does and ask them, "Does the Bible say such and such and such?" There are some people glad to talk to you about the Scriptures. And you find out. And if it's false teaching, run, don't walk. Get out of there. "But I need to be in church." You don't need to be in that church. If they're not teaching the truth, they might sing "Amazing Grace" so beautifully, "How sweet the sound." They may have all wonderful programs and programs for the children and teach the children in Sunday school. But if it's false doctrine, you need to take yourself and your children and get out. Don't give them space. Just get out. And I say that me and my family has left so many churches over the years. I say, that's it, y'all, we're out. "But they got a good Sunday school." We'll have Sunday school at home. And we had Sunday school at home and church at home and communion at home. And we sung praise songs at home. And we had Bible study at home. We had it all at home until the Lord allowed us to go into another place. Learn what we were to learn. And as soon as it didn't work out, we didn't make trouble. We just got up and left. And, you don't give the pastor a hard time. He might be still coming around. I don't know. You don't stand there and disrupt their services or disrupt the church. You just move on and pray for them and trust God for them. But remember, false teaching will take you down a false way. And when you really are going to need the Word of God to work for you, and you don't have the Word of God in you, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. Don't follow false teachers. Don't get your spiritual inspiration, and don't get your spiritual guidance from soothsayers. Leave the horoscopes alone. Ain't nothing godly in horoscopes. They should spell it H-O-R-R-O-R, horoscopes. You're going to meet a tall, dark, handsome man. There's a lot of tall, dark, handsome men out there. So you're going to see one for sure. Oh, my horoscope was right. He's tall, dark, and handsome. But there's another one behind him. They're all around. Leave those things alone. Prognostications. Now the psychics are so bold now, they will read you over the telephone for $1 a minute. Is it $1 a minute? I think it's $1 a minute. And folks are so lost that they'll call and give their credit card number and talk for 10 minutes. You say, that's only $10. Yeah, but what did you get for $10? And what you picked up just now? What was imparted during that little 10-minute conversation? And you're going to fashion your life behind what this thing person said over the phone in 10 minutes or 15 minutes. What's $20? She's going to tell me how my life is going to be. You need to run to God with this. Run to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got everything you need. And oh, by the way, every question that's ever been asked is answered in the Word of God. Every question has already been answered in the Word of God. But I can't see it. It's in there. Just pray and ask God to show you or find someone to help you study it out. But the answer is there. You don't need to go to the soothsayers and Madame Rijapong. Let me look in your hand and tell you who you're going to marry. You're going to look in my hand and tell me about my spouse? You're asking for trouble. You follow that advice, you're going to see what you marry. And you'll be very sorry. Well, praise the Lord. Next week we will start in chapter 3, talking about the church of Sardis. But as you can see, God is not happy with false teachers in the church. And it is up to the messenger of the church to weed that out. That's why he gave a message to the messenger. It's up to the messenger to give that message and to warn and to rebuke and to correct through the Word of God. If you have the Spirit of God in you, you will hear that warning. You will heed it. Amen? Well, Father, thank you today for this brief but great study of the ending of chapter 2, the book of Revelation. And Lord, I just pray you just be with us and help us and help me, Lord. It took me a whole lot less time to deliver the message than it did to study it. But you know what you're doing. So help us through all of this and just bless us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I noticed as I was studying that only the first 3 chapters of Revelation are in red. Everything after that is in black. I tried to see if there was anything in red. I didn't see anything until the last chapter, I think. And then he's back in red, just a few verses, maybe 4 verses in red. But everything after chapter 3, it's all in black. There's no more Jesus talking until 22. Where he says he's coming quickly. Interesting.
It goes from Jesus talking to John to like what his actual vision was.
Yeah.
At the end. My Bible doesn't have the red thing. It's only black, yeah. Okay. There's nothing in there.
Okay. Well, yeah. The end of chapter 3, that's the last time I've seen any red until chapter 21. Everything else is in black. Another thing, when he was speaking to the 7 churches, he says, he that hath and ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. After that, all he said was, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. He didn't say anything about what the Spirit said. But anyway, well, praise the Lord. God bless you.